Billy Elliot by Melvin Burgess, narrated by Susan Sheridan, Emma Tate, Gordon Griffin and Martin Waits.
He's an idiot, my brother. I hate him. He's got good taste in music, though. He always listens to it on his headphones when I'm around so as I can't hear it. Like he owns the air or something. He'd wrap the music up and stick it up his arse if he could. I don't get much time on my own lately, except first thing in the morning before school, when me dad and Tony are out on the picket line. It was better when they were working. I could get back from school and I'd have hours to listen to anything I wanted. Nan likes the music too. Dad thinks it's mutton rubbish, but she's too old to care about that sort of thing. She never tells on me. She probably can't remember long enough to know what we were doing anyhow. As soon as Dad and Tony are out the house, I'll put the music on while I do breakfast. She can't keep her feet still. I can hear her singing along while she's still in bed. Sometimes she gets up and we jiggle around the room together. She does these poses with her arms in the air, trying to balance on one leg and spin round like a ballet dancer. Except she's getting on for 80 and can't walk all that well these days, let alone dance. Go for it, Nan! Boogie woogie! Me dad and Tony try to stop her because they think she's just making a fool of herself. Well, but who's to see her? It's just us. We're her family. If she can't make a fool of herself in front of her family, where can she? She should be allowed to dance and listen to music all day long if she wants to. But me brother's too mean to let anyone hear anything except the sound of his voice. I danced myself right out of the womb. I danced myself right out the womb. Is it strange to dance so soon? I danced myself right out the womb. You know, it fills up the whole house. And, oh, man, it was just lovely. I began to dance around the table while I put the eggs in, pretending to play the guitar. That music just makes you move. Me and my best friend Michael, we used to pretend to be rock stars when we were younger. Michael used to dress up in his sister's satin pyjamas, you know, glam rock, and put on makeup and stuff so we looked like Bowie or Mark Bolan. I didn't care about looking like anyone. I just liked the music. It was great. I used to call him a gay lord, and he'd jump on me and try to give me a battering. Cosmic Boogie lasts just long enough to do the eggs soft, the way my nan likes them. I took them out, I put them in the egg cups, set out the tray all nice and all. Then I picked the lot up, slid the door to her room to one side with my foot, and I went boogieing into her room. Hey, Nan, it's the dancing waiter! I jiggled in there, doing my best to keep the eggs on their feet. And the bloody old thing wasn't there. Shite! I banged down the tray and ran out the door. My dad'll kill me if I lose my Nan. She disappeared for a whole morning once. The police picked her up on the end wandering around the railway station in Jesmond. Who the hell she got there, God only knows. Dad thinks she was probably trying to visit someone who'd been dead for about 50 years. I pelted out the back gate and up the road, yelling, Nan! Nan! At the top of my voice. Oh, she frightens the life out of me. Nan, she can't look after herself. You turn your back for a minute and poof, she's not there. It isn't that she moves all that fast. You wonder how she gets so far. Once she gets going, she just never stops. Hey, I could bloody kill her. I had to get to school. But, oh well, it's not her fault she's old, is it? Which way? Which bloody way? She might have gone down to the sea. You can see the sea from where we are. Sometimes she goes down and watches the waves. I stood there looking first one way, then the other. Where? But there was little Alison from a few doors down sucking a rusk or something, and she pointed her finger uphill. I went hair enough. If Nan had gone that way, I had a good idea where she was. I was bloody knackered by the time I got there. But there she was, all right, in the field under the viaduct. I knew it. She always goes there. It's bloody awful. There's a pond. She could fall in and drown. No one knows why she goes there. No one knows why she does anything, really. If you ask her, she just looks at you. I reckon she used to play there as a kid. She's lived here all her life. 80 years. 80 years, Christ! Nan! I yelled. She turned and stared at me. I pushed up through the long grass. It was soaking. Poor old thing. She was wet through. She looked terrified. That's the trouble, see. It's not just us that don't know what she's doing half the time. It's her as well. She frightens herself worse than anyone. What about your eggs? I said. You're new, she said. Nan, it's Billy. Billy! She nodded and smiled vaguely. I remember that morning, and this is why. On the bridge that cuts across the end of the field, three black vans pulled up and the police started to climb out. It was like something out of Doctor Who. The vans just kept pouring policemen out of the back of them, like beetles coming out of a crack in the ground. They had these big plastic shields and batons. They looked like something out of the movies. Nan saw me looking up and looked up too. What are they? She said. Police, Nan. It's the police. Bastards! She shook her fist at them. Bastards! She screamed. Some of them looked down, but we were too far off for them to bother with. Have they come for us, Billy? She whispered. She may be a silly old woman, but she's seen all sorts, my Nan. She was alive in the '30s and during the war. She's seen everything. She knows all about the police. She knows whose side they're on. Not us, Nan. They're not interested in us. Is it Jackie? Is it Tony? She asked. I didn't answer. Sometimes my Nan scares me more when she knows what's going on. I took her by the arm and led her back home. I was picking out the tune of Cosmic Boogie on the piano and thinking about Mam. Tony was running about the kitchen, slapping slices of bread and marge down his throat and fondling his placards. No surrender. Thatcher out. Scab, scab, scab. Dad was fussing, doing the dishes, trying to wipe the floor, putting the cups back in the cupboard. Susan from down the road, Susan Spanners we call her because of her face, she comes in and does a bit of housework from time to time. Nan was sitting on her bed in her room next door, singing along. Singing something anyhow, but I don't think it was what I was playing. Mam's been dead 2 years now. I don't think anyone remembers my Mam except for me anymore. I miss her. I miss her every day. People don't see how I miss her, but I do. I miss her when I'm looking in the mirror, and when I'm walking through the doors from room to room, or when I'm mucking about on the piano. I think to myself, well, her fingers would have held that doorknob when she opened it. I remember her in all sorts of ways like that. How she used to do her makeup in the mirror in the hall on her way out when she was in a hurry. There's a little box under the mirror where she used to keep her stuff. There's some lipstick things still in there, actually. It smells just a little how my mam used to smell, but it's stale now. When I look in that mirror, I sometimes wonder, if I stare long enough, will I see her face? I've stared for ages before now, trying to see her face inside mine. If you stare long enough, your face seems to change, and it scares me half to death. Remembering and missing aren't exactly the same thing, but they're pretty close, and you can't do one without the other. I've a letter from me, Mam, that she wrote ages ago. Listen. Dear Billy, can you hear? Can you hear me Mam's voice? Listen. Dear Billy, I know I must seem like a distant memory to you, which is probably a good thing. It will have been a long time. And I will have missed seeing you grow, missed you crying and laughing and shouting, and I will have missed telling you off. But please know that I was always there with you all through everything. And I always will be. And I am proud to have known you. And I am proud that you were mine. Always be yourself. I love you forever. That's me, Mam. Forever, she says. Only there's no forever, is there? Not for her, anyhow. I was supposed to keep that letter for when I was 18, but I opened it anyway. I keep it in a box under my bed, and I take it out to read from time to time. Not too often, because the paper will wear out one day. It'll be like, that'll be her gone then. I made a copy, just to remember exactly what she said, for when it gets too creased and fallen to bits. I only ever read it on my own. I did it once when Tony was in the room. We share the same bedroom. I read it while he was there because I wanted him to remember me mum with me. Me and him together. But he didn't want to. You should have kept it for later, like she asked. Anyway, you know what's in it. What's the point? He said. Don't you ever miss her? I asked him. Oh, fuck off, he said. And he turned over and went to sleep. See? I told you. Anyhow, so I was picking out the tune to Cosmic Boogie on the piano, and as I did it, I was imagining how her fingers used to touch the keys and make the music come. She used to play for us all. Nan used to waltz around the room pretending to be a ballerina. I can't play. I'd like piano lessons, but I don't ask, because you know what my dad'll say? Billy, we can't afford enough to bloody eat, let alone ponce around on a piano, son. That's my dad. Him and Tony are just alike. It's all how you got to stand up for yourself and take your knocks and stick together. There's no time for remembering people, not for them. They're too busy standing up for themselves, fighting on the picket line. I've heard them. Scab, scab, scab! Fighting down the mine. I can just imagine them down there, fighting away at the coal face, ripping out lumps of coal like a pair of bloody mechanical diggers. And fighting each other, and fighting me too. What's the difference? They were quarrelling again that morning. Come on, Dad, we'll be late. Stop faffing about. Tony was rushing about the place, pulling on his boots, slapping his hands together. But Dad wanted to make the place look pretty. He's always worrying about Nan being on her own in the house. I've time to do your Nan's breakfast, haven't I? For fuck's sake, Billy can do it. Come on. Hang on. Dad ran out into the yard. Tony walked up and down, clucking to himself. I just sat there and picked out the tune. It's like this all the time, quarrelling and fighting. That's all they ever do. Dad came back in with the coal scuttle. There's not much of this coal left. We'll be digging it out of the ground again next month. Dad stood there with his mouth pulled down. Don't kid yourself, he said. Tony looked at him like he was made of poison or something. You could feel the air freeze. Tony hates that sort of talk. You'd just pack it in and stay in bed if it wasn't for me, wouldn't you? He said. Tony, Dad began. But Tony was off. Suit your bloody self, I'm not waiting for yous. He grabbed an armful of placards and made for the door. Tony! Tony, wait for us! Yelled Dad. But Tony was gone. Dad didn't chase him. He just stood there. Tony reckons he's had it. He reckons he's given in. I don't know. Maybe he's right. I carried on with my tune. Shut it up, Billy, will you? He yelled at me suddenly. I took no notice. Mum would have let us, I told him, picking away. He came up behind me and slammed the lid down. He only just missed my fingers. Then he ran out the door after Tony. What's he want to stop me playing for when he's not even here? I'll see you later at the social, he said on the way out. Oh, bugger, I thought. I hate it when he comes to watch me box. Listen. I boxed, me dad boxed, you box. That's me dad. What he did 200 years ago is what his dad did 200 years before that, and it's what I'll be doing 200 years from now. That's how come my dad knows what's what. Me brother used to take the piss out of him when he was younger. You can't tell me, I know, he'd say. That was in the old days before he turned into me dad as well. Now he's just as bad. And that's why every Saturday morning I put the gloves around me neck and I go down the club to punch someone's head in for them. I could get into the boxing if they'd let me be. The thing is, I have my own ideas about it and they don't like that. The thing about boxing, see, it's not what you do with your hands, it's what you do with your feet. George, the trainer, and Dad, they don't understand that. They think it's just a question of how hard you hit someone in the head. But that's wrong. Look at Muhammad Ali. You can't hit him, he's not there. Float like a butterfly, sting like a bee. If George had to sing that, it'd be more like, stand still as a bloody rock, punched like a bloody lorry. He's always yelling at me and telling me to stop dancing about the place. He hates it. Hit him, hit him! Stand still and fight, he yells at me. Stand still and get hit, he means. He thinks I only do it to annoy him. Once, he actually climbed in the ring and held me still so the other bloke could hit me properly. If they let me alone till I wore out the other blokes and got them tired in the legs, then I'd start belting them. But they can't wait that long. They don't think. It's tactics, see? They don't bloody think.
Well, I worry for the boy. There's no one to look out for him since his mam died. I do what I can for him, but a boy needs a mother, especially a boy like that. Look at this fight we're in now. It's a fight for our future, for our community. It's a fight for my job and for Tony's job. But is it a fight for Billy? Say our Billy a quarter of a mile underground hacking the coal out, the sweat running black in your eyes, down your back. That's not our Billy. All I could ever do for him was pay his way. And I can't even do that now. And I'm not sure I ever will again. Tony thinks I'm going soft. We're owed, that's how Tony says it. Aye, well, he's right, but so what? Being owed never won out. I remember my dad on strike in the 30s. They weren't owed then. They had power. The coal they dug ran the factories, lit the streets and the houses, drove the ships across the water. Without coal, the whole bloody country dragged to a halt. Look at it now. Natural gas, oil, nuclear energy. You don't have to go and dig oil and gas out of the ground with your bare hands. You just tap down into it and it shoots up like a bloody fountain. Nice and easy and cheap. And then, of course, there's the luxurious lifestyles folk like us insist on. Gold bath taps, caviar with every meal. That's why it's cheaper to float coal over from Argentina than it is to pay us to dig it up out of the ground. I don't think. Well, I'll tell you what. If Thatcher came here today and said to me, look, we're going to close down the mines and we're going to open up a whole bloody great town full of shiny new factories, I don't know rightly if I'd say yea or nay. But at least it'd be some sort of hope. Not like this. Not like, you lot aren't cost effective, so sod off. That's Thatcher. She must have a fist where her heart is. The whole bloody community is going to be left to rot. She just doesn't care. She doesn't care about us. That goes without saying. But she doesn't care about anything else either. She doesn't care if the whole bloody country gets closed down, so long as she runs it her way. She's already shut down half of it. The mill's all gone. Half our industry closed down or sold off abroad. Now it's our turn. At first I thought we could do it. I thought we could teach her a lesson the other workers couldn't. Now I'm not so sure. Well, maybe Tony's right. Maybe I'm just going soft. I've seen it before. Old blokes like me with too much to lose who've lost too much already. And me. I've already lost just about everything. My lovely Sarah gone. Gone from me forever. Every day I wake up and I think, can she really be dead? How could that happen? It's unbelievable to me. And yet somehow, you know, here I am out of work and time on me hands, but I never seem to have a chance to even think about her. I've got me boys to bring up on me own. I've got the strike. You understand me? It's hard. It's very, very hard. I keep at it for Tony's sake because, well, what is there for Tony if we lose this? After all, if the world stopped tomorrow, I'd have been in love, and I'd have worked and lived and had me kids, but Tony, what's he got? He was brought up to be a miner, and what's a miner without a mine? So, here I am, fighting for Tony, even though I don't know if we can win. Fighting for Billy, even though I've got nothing for him, even if we do win. I've got nought else for him. No job, no mother, no future. Just me, here and now. It's all I've got left. I go down every Saturday I can to watch Billy box. I miss the beginning because of the picket, but it puts you in the right frame for boxing. It gets bloody rough out there. The police. Don't tell me they don't have orders. They don't need to be gentle, but they don't have to be that rough. Mind, I'll tell you this. If we ever get our hands on the men in those coaches going through that line, we'll tear the bastards limb from bloody limb. Some of the young lads like Tony. They want blood. They chanted sometimes, blood, blood, blood. Imagine sitting in that coach, listening to that. And then knowing you're going to meet us at the shops or on the street or wherever the next day. I don't agree with violence. That's not going to get us anywhere. There'll always be scabs, but I can understand it. Rows and rows of men going without, putting their community and the future before their own families. And there's those bastards riding in behind a police guard to try and bring us down. Scabs! When you say men you've worked next to, men you thought were your friends, men you went to school with, or your son went to school with, people you thought you could trust. And there they are, riding in behind a police guard, five men thick. Well, it makes you want to kick their bloody heads in. As if it wasn't enough to have to fight the bosses, to have to fight your own and all. So, I went in that day, ready to see my boy dish out some stick. I remember the feeling when your glove connects. Tuck! It goes right up your arm and into your shoulder. It's something I did and me dad did. It's something Tony did too. Now it's Billy's turn. I keep telling him, you've got to be able to fight, lad. If you can't fight, you can't stand up for yourself. And if you can't stand up for yourself, well, what's the point? They were using the downstairs as a soup kitchen for the strikers, and so the ballet class was in the hall as well. Rows of little girls in pink going up and down, up and down. Bottoms out, called the woman doing the class. I thought, bloody hell, ballet and boxing, what a mixture. It made me chuckle while I sat down. Ballet and boxing. They ought to put the little girls in gloves and put the lads in those poncy pink shoes they wear. That'd be a laugh. Our Billy was in the ring. Go on, Billy, I shouted. I could see the little girls turning to look at me. I nodded at our lad. I thought, let them have a look at him. See what he can do. I hadn't been for a while. He didn't used to be much good. But he's improved lately, he's been telling me. Says his footwork's improved and his punching's coming on. Footwork, I said. Aye, you need to have footwork. Just make sure you whack him one in between steps. Old George was checking the gloves, getting them ready. Come on, lads, fight fair. Give it all you got. The other lad was a big, chubby bloke. He was taller and stronger than our Billy. But he was a bit of a porker. Footwork, I thought. Billy'll leave him standing. Then out he came. And I thought, oh, Christ. I mean, what was he playing at? Muhammad Ali? More like bloody Fred Astaire? Jumping and twisting and twatting about? He was even twirling round in circles and giving his back to his opponent. Ah, oh, not this again, George groaned. This is man-to-man combat, not a bloody tea party. Hit him, for God's sake. He looked over to me. All I could do was shake my head. Billy was prancing about, occasionally going up close and doing a little jab. The other bloke was just standing there, hiding behind his gloves, watching. He's just pissing about, Greavesy, said George. Hit him one. Get stuck in! He's like a fanny in a fit. Watch him, Billy, I yelled. Too late. Whack. Greavesy walked right up and smacked him one. Bang! And there was Billy on his back. Jesus Christ! George was furious, absolutely furious. I suppose he felt he was letting me down as much as anything. But it's not his fault. The boy's unteachable. All that stuff about footwork. I might have known he was just daydreaming again. Billy Elliot, you're a disgrace to them gloves. Your father and the traditions of this hall. You owe us 50p. I couldn't look any more. All I wanted to do was come along and give him some support, and what happens? I have to watch him get humiliated. I was so angry. What could I do for that boy? What had I got for him? If he can't even bloody look after himself against a fat prat like that, what is he, eh? What is he? And what does that make me?
Go on, hit it. Where's your sense of rhythm? Bang, bang, bang. You'll stay here until you do it properly, Billy Elliot. Bang, bloody, bloody, bang, bang, bang. How dare he? I was so angry I couldn't see straight. In front of me, Dad. How bloody dare he? He knew exactly what he was doing. You're a disgrace to them gloves, your father, and blah, blah, blah. You bastard. I tried to imagine the punchbag was his face, but I was so cross. I was just swinging and swiping and missing the sodden thing. I'm going to glue your bloody feet to the ground, Elliot. I'm going to stop you prattin' about if it's the last thing I do. Go on, hit it. Bloody, bloody, bang, bang, bang. How dare he? Fuck him. Bottoms in. Feel the music, and one and two and three and four and five and six. Lift your arms, feel the music. Susan, drop that hip. Down the hall, that woman was doing her ballet class. There was some old bloke on the piano. Plinkety plonk, plinkety plink. One and two and three and four. I began hitting more slowly in time to the music. It made me snigger. I reckon if old George had guessed I was beating up the punch bag in time to Ponzi Bally music, he'd have blown himself to bits. It worked, though. That bag was getting it. And one and two and three and four and five and six. That's better. Why don't you do that to someone's head one day? George fished out a bunch of keys from his pocket and chucked them to me. Give them to Mrs. Wilkinson when you've finished. I'll see you next week. Out he went. Good riddance to bad rubbish, I thought. I focused on the bag and pretended it was his head. Beat the fat bastard up by ballet. One and two, and bang and thump. Three and four, and whack and bump. Bang, bang, bang. I wondered if Muhammad Ali did workouts to music. It wouldn't surprise me. The trouble with George is he's teaching boxing like it used to be, not like how it is. Same as everything else round here, about 60 years out of date. Not that I give a toss about boxing anyhow. Michael's right. You'd never get him down here whacking away at bags of leather. Fucking stupid. Kicking people's heads in. What for? It's a load of old shite. I don't know why you bother. You've got to look after yourself, haven't you? I'd rather fucking run away. Well, that won't get you very far. Well, how far do you think you're going to go? Look at them gloves, man. They went out with the ark. These are me dad's. Exactly. Bloody Michael. One thing, though, he's always himself, like me mam says. God knows what that is, though. The music changed pace. And hold. Support yourselves. Don't look at me, Susan. Look ahead. Where's your confidence? Come on. And down. Lovely. Good. Eyes front, Debbie. And five and six. And for God's sake, stop quivering, girl. And three and four and five and six. And seven and eight. Thank you, Mr. Braithwaite. Right into the centre, girls, please. I took the gloves off. hung them round my neck, and went over to have a look. They looked pretty, the girls, in their pink tights and little dresses and things. Old George had told us no hanky-panky with the ballet lesson happening right next to us. Some of the lads had been calling out, you know, "Four, never mind, bottoms in, tits out," and all that. Not that many of them girls had tits yet, mind, but the way them girls bend over and lift their legs right up. Dave Michael said it'd be nice if they left their knickers off. "What of you?" He said he'd be able to see halfway to China. He is filthy. He gets it off his dad. "Look at them. If they were prancing round like that any other way, their mams would be onto them. We'd be all calling them little sluts. But because it's the ballet, they can flash their fannies and no one cares." Tell you the truth, I felt a bit rude watching them like a dirty old man, you know. "Miss, the keys. The keys, miss." She just ignored me. "Not now. 3, 4, and 5, and 6. She didn't seem to mind us watching, though. "Right, Mr. Braithwaite, the sun'll come out tomorrow. Fat chance. And port de bras forward and up." The music started up again and the girls stepped up all together. It was pretty clever, really. All in step, lifting up their arms, twirling round. "Step and two and down and two and round and two." It was interesting, really. Pretty easy, though. I reckon anyone could do it if they wanted. I didn't know why them lasses had to spend so much time doing something as obvious as that, like. That pointy bit with the toes. I stretched mine out to see. See? Easy. "Why don't you have a go?" It was Debbie Wilkinson. She's in the same year as me at school. "Nah," I said. "Imagine it, me doing ballet." "It's not as easy as it looks," she said. "Get off," I said. "Port de bras forward and up and hold." They all froze in midair like. I held me breath. It really looked pretty good. I stuck me leg out like them. "Easy." Mrs. Wilkinson went around among them, straightening legs and things. "And up." They all stood up straight.
"I bet you couldn't do it," said Debbie.
"Anyone could do that." She put her leg out with her toes pointed.
"Do that," she said.
I stuck it out just to show her.
"There you are, see," she said.
It was true. Hers was much more pointy than mine. "Well, I've got my boots on."
"Anyhow, it's shaken like a leaf," she teased me.
I looked down. It was. She did hers again and, all right, it was stiller than mine. Quite a bit stiller, even though it was shaken a bit at the toe.
"Okay, girls, to the bar. Thank you, Mr. Braithwaite."
Mrs. Wilkinson walked past the pianist, pinched a fag from his pocket and lit it without missing a beat. "And 1, and 2, and 3, and 4. My Nan's always saying how she could have been a professional dancer. She reckoned Mam could have been too, but dancing wasn't her thing. Nan used to take her to do the ballet when she was a girl, but Mam never took to it like she did. She was a musician, Nan said. She loved to play. I thought of Nan doing all those movements with her arms up and Mam doing the same thing. See? There's things in our family other than boxing. The girls were all at the other end of the bar, so I had a little go behind Mrs. "Bend and stretch and legs out." I bent and stuck me leg out and peeked at it over my shoulder. Debbie was right. It wasn't as easy as it looked. I was trying to follow what they were doing, and it really was pretty difficult. The thing was, I found out, to let the music do it for you. You know, it wasn't like Mark Bolan or Bowie, but it had a good rhythm. You had to get into it. You had to feel the music, like Miss kept saying, and then and down and 1 and 2 and 3 and 4 and boots off. Ow! She was treading on my foot. A whiff of fag smoke drifted past my face. It made me cough. What size are you? 2, 3, boots off. 4, 5, and 6 and 7. Miss, what about the keys? And 8 and 9 and 10. And she was off again, wandering round among the girls. I don't know why she wanted me to take the boots off, but I did as I was told. Maybe you weren't allowed near the bar or something with your boots on. I was doing the second laces when she dropped something in front of me. Bloody great pair of bally shoes. I dare you, she said. Prepare. You can't get a decent line with those boots. Well, there was no one about to see, just the girls. And you know what? I reckon they liked it, having a lad in with them. I reckon they thought it was something a bit different. Why not? Just to show them. She was a good teacher, that Mrs. Wilkinson. I didn't hardly have time to think about how stupid I looked. She had me going up and down, up and down, 1 and 2 and 3 and 4 and 5. And I reckon she thought I was pretty good at it and all, because when she made us all hold with our arms stretched out in front and our legs stretched out behind us, she came and checked me over. Nice straight leg, she said. See, it's easier if you wear the proper shoes. You can't get a decent line with those boots on. Good arch, she said, whatever that is. It was bloody hard, though. You try it. Just stand there on one leg with your other leg out behind and your arms out in front. And just stand there for a minute or two without shaking. You'll see. It's hard. You have to be bloody strong. Turn that leg out. Drop that hip. She didn't say much. She never said anything. I just had the impression she thought I was doing all right somehow. Afterwards, when I was walking home, she pulled up alongside me in her car. The window came down. She had that Debbie in the back of her car too. I'd never realised she was her daughter. She breathed out a load of smoke through the window. You owe me 50 pence, she said. No, I don't. You do. Bring it along next week. I have to do boxing, miss. But you're crap at boxing, said Debbie. The little cow must have been watching me. I'm not, I said. He just caught me, that's all. Shut up, Debbie. Mrs. Wilkinson looked back at me. Thought you enjoyed it? I said nowt. Please yourself, darling, she told me, and she drove off. I could see Debbie's funny face peering at me out the back window as they went. She was right, though. I did enjoy it. The music was a bit dull, that's all. I reckon I could have really gotten to it if she had something better than that old fart on the piano. T-Rex or Bowie. Pan's People or Fred Astaire. He can dance. My nan likes Fred Astaire. We had one of his films on the telly the other day. If I was going to be a dancer, that's the sort of thing it'd have to be. You know, hi-hat. Hi-hat! I ran and spun and jumped as I ran down the road, and the thought of the music filled me up till it ran squeaking and shouting and spinning out of my ears. Next day I was aching all over. That ballet, it's bloody addictive, you know. I was thinking about it all the next week. 1 and 2 and up and down. I kept hearing her voice going on at me. When you put your arms and legs into those positions, it's like a note of music. You hold it in the air, and then whoosh, it goes off into the rest of the tune. Aye, interesting. The only thing with it is, it makes me feel like a right sissy. I mean, ponce, 2, 3, twat, 2, 3, and prat about, and 4 and 5 and 6, and shite, shite, shite. Ah, imagine what me dad'd say. Or Tony, they'd go balmy. I mean, what good's bally down a mine? Only problem with that is, what mine? The union leader, Arthur Scargill, says they have a secret plan to close all the mines down. So if he's right, I might as well be dancing us out, because there won't be any mines left for me to go down by the time I'm old enough. On the news, they say the miners will be back at work in a few more weeks, once winter comes. Starved out. Aye, well, we're not starving yet. It's been a long time since we had a joint of meat on Sunday, that's all. There's no one to cook it anyhow. Tony has a go, but he's not as good as our man was. Not everyone thinks ballet's crap. Some of them lassies at school said it's dead brave of me to do a ballet class. Aye. And some of them told the other lads what I was up to. I had Dave Sullivan and that crowd honoured me in the playground the other day. Hey, Billy, give us a turn. Show your fanny, will you? But I don't care about them. What do they know? I'm used to being picked on. That Debbie's latched onto me and all, which doesn't help either. I reckon her mam wants me to go so she can get more customers. If the boys started ballet, there'd be twice as many takers, wouldn't there? Not that she's short of a bob or two, I reckon, with her posh voice and all. Bloody middle-class Millie, that's what she is. Not like us. Not like mining. Try her down a mine, it'd bloody kill her. Debbie was on at me on the way home from school the other day.
Plenty of boys do ballet, you know, she said.
Do they, fuck? What boys?
Nobody round here, but plenty do.
Puffs, I told her.
Not necessarily, she said.
We got to the top of the hill and looked down. You could see the mine from there. All around it were rings and rings and rings of miners and coppers. They had their shields shining in the sun. There were some of them on horseback. One of the shifts was coming out.
That Wayne Sleep, he's not a puff, she said.
Sounds pretty puffy to me, I told her. Down below there was a noise like drums. I peered down. The coppers were beating their shields with their batons.
It's like Zulu, isn't it? Said Debbie.
Aye, like Zulu. There were bloody thousands of them and they were still coming. You could see more vans coming down the hills like lions gathering, or vultures. One drove past us. I could see the faces of the policemen inside staring out at us.
He's as fit as an athlete.
What?
That Wayne Sleep. He's as fit as an athlete.
I bet he couldn't beat Daly Thompson.
Maybe not in a race, but in stamina. Why don't you come next time? You could just watch.
I've got to go boxing, haven't I?
Please yourself.
She turned off to go. She lived on the other side of the village. Big houses, gardens, middle-class Millie.
See you then.
Aye, see you. Ta-ra. Debbie walked off up the hill. I stared down at the mine. The miners on the picket line started hooting at the policemen banging their shields as if they were monkeys. What a racket. It was a war all right. But you know what? They looked like a bloody chorus line in a Fred Astaire movie. I bet I could have made a great film director if I was given the chance. I bet no one else would think of using all those policemen in a chorus line. I began to tap my foot and sing, "Hi Hat." I was so busy watching, I didn't hear the cop car come up behind me until it gave a little poop. I nearly jumped out of my skin. The copper driving smiled at me and winked. I walked out of the road and watched them drive off. Out of the back window, the coppers waved me goodbye. I just ignored them. That Debbie gives me the shivers sometimes, actually. She's a funny little dried-up-looking thing. Middle class. You'd expect her to want me to fanny about doing ballet, but she wasn't the only one. Michael thought it was all right, too. Mind you, Michael, isn't he? He's a good friend, though. He never tries to tell you what you should be doing. I was showing him some of the moves under Gat's cope when we were doing cross-country at school. Him and me, we don't like cross-country. Actually, Michael hates all sports. I like some of it. I used to spend ages learning tricks at football. You know, the sort of thing, like grabbing the ball between your ankles and flipping it up over your head. Then, if you're fast enough, you can spin round and slam it one right in the back of the net. Only it never works like that on the pitch. I spent ages learning that one. Or tapping the ball from one toe to the other, up in the air in little skips, then knocking it between your opponent's legs and running off behind him. I've done that one a few times in a real game. The ballet's the same in some ways. You have to spend ages learning how to do the moves just right. It's only there's no ball involved. Anyhow, while the others go running round a dirty grid long loop from the end of the school playing field and right round Gats Wood and back, me and Michael hang around the back and slip down into the old tunnel under the track. Then we sit around chatting for 10 minutes until the others come along over the bridge. Once they've run round the corner, we come back up and follow behind them. Last every time, but who cares? I showed him some of the moves in the tunnel. "Put your leg like that," I said. I had to straighten it up for him. "Arm out, 1, 2. He looked over his shoulder and grinned at me. "Eyes forward," I told him. I showed him all the moves, and you know what? He wasn't anywhere near as good at it as I was. I had to show him how. "You've had lessons," he complained. "Lesson? Just one," I told him. "Are you going back?" "Nah, what for?" "You're good at it, aren't you?" "I reckon." "Well then." "I feel like a right idiot." "You are a right idiot, so what's the difference?" He paused and looked at me. "I think you look nice, actually. I think you should do it. It looks very..."
"What?"
"Well, not tough, but manly."
"Manly? What sort of a word's that? Anyhow, it's for girls."
"It's different when men do it. It's like the gymnastics on the telly. The men are different, aren't they? They're so much stronger, like graceful but strong. You know what I mean?"
"Hey, he comes out with it sometimes, Michael. Manly."
But I knew what he meant. Gymnastics is a good way of looking at it. The ballet's like that. I could jump higher than those girls. If you get your muscles underneath the jump, you go up like a fucking bird.
So, in the end, I did have another go at it, after all. I thought, just once.
When I left the house, I had no intention of doing it. Dad and Tony had their usual quarrel and went off to their picket line. I took my 50p off the fridge, got the gloves and off I went. But once I got into the changing room and I heard George going on, bang, bang, bang. Oh, my heart sank. I thought, banging about in the ring and getting twatted by some dopey piece of shite. You're not for me, thanks. Michael was right, it's stupid. So I hid in one of the cubicles in the changing room, waited until they'd all gone, and then sneaked down to the ballet class. It was downstairs this time, so no one would ever know I'd been. It was just curiosity. I didn't care that much. I just wanted to see how good I was at it, really. And I quite liked the girls all looking at me as well. And I didn't half mind looking at them either. It started off boring and embarrassing. They were doing all these moves one after the other and I had no idea what was coming next. I was going one way and they were going the other. How was I supposed to know what to do? They'd been doing it for ages. I bet I could have done any of those moves better than they could, but I didn't know which one was coming next. Miss was going, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. But how can you stay in rhythm if you don't know what's coming next? I had no idea what I was doing. I just stopped.
"What's this?" she said.
"I don't know what to do, miss." "Follow the others. Go to the back so you can watch. 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. Where's those arms? 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. I did my best, but I don't know. I was thinking, hey, I've had enough of this. I was thinking it was more fun getting your head kicked in than being a prat here. But then she showed me the spin.
I'd seen them before on TV. You know, someone spins round and round dead fast and then stops, comes suddenly to a dead standstill in exactly the same position as when they started off. It's pretty spectacular, really. If you did that in a boxing ring, no one would know what was going on. You'd spin round really fast and then you'd come out of it with a punch. Man, you'd knock your opponent flying. Anyway, it's like all these things. There's a trick to it, see? I never realised. You have to find a spot on the wall, stare at it, get your arms right. The balance is in the arms, see? Then push off into your spin really, really fast. And then stop so you're staring at exactly the same point. It has to be exactly the same spot, mind. It's not good starting off staring at a picture on the wall and end up looking at the lampshade. If you get it right, you go like a top. If you get it wrong, you end up on your back. Anyhow, I was crap at that too. She showed us it over and over. Some of the girls did it pretty well, really. I tried to imitate them, but she wasn't having it. Come on, Billy. You're not a girl, are you? Put some strength into it. Spin it, spin it. You're a man. You've got to go off like a rocket. So I did. I span round so fast my feet slipped and I ended up sprawled out on the floor like a prat. The girl stared down at me. They didn't dare laugh, though. She came down on anyone who laughed. You have to be prepared to be a bit of a prat when you start off learning these things so you can end up good. Same as anything. Practice at home, she said. And then we went to bar, which was a lot better because it was all slow and you could see the moves easily and I could do that okay. At the end of it, I was knackered, but I felt great. That spin. I knew I could do it. It was just a question of practice. I was sitting on a bench pulling me jumper on and that Debbie was hanging around me again, watching like I was a TV set or something. See, she said. I said it was harder than it looks, didn't I? Aye, you did. The spin's hard, isn't it? She practiced it a couple of times. You're not as fast as me, I told her. You can't even do it, she scoffed. I got up to show her. I did a slow one to start with, and it wasn't half bad. But when I did it fast, it was no good. I couldn't keep me balance. You need to go round at least twice, a strong lad like you. It was Mrs. Wilkinson. I sat down and started packing me bag. She nodded at Debbie. Scram! Why, ma'am? What did you call me? Miss, sorry. Go on. Debbie cleared off, and Miss looked down at me, holding her fag to her mouth and squinting through the smoke. So then, do we get the pleasure of your company next week? Dunno. It's just, I feel like a right sissy. Then don't act like one. 50 pence. I handed over the money. She pointed at my ballet shoes. Well, if you're not coming, give us your shoes back. I hesitated. Ballet, well, I didn't care for it all that much, but I wanted to learn how to do that spin. I wanted to do it in the boxing ring. That'd show 'em. Nah, you're all right, I said. Right, she said. And she turned on her heel without even saying goodbye or anything and walked straight out. And you know what? I didn't realise how much I liked it until I found myself dancing all the way home. I felt really light-headed. I went skittering and jumping all the way.